What's happening, boys and girls? My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. I just want to cut this on and talk. I fooled with it minimally, trying to get everything set up right. It's my first time talking on this in a while. Probably my first time talking in a while, period. You may notice my mouth is messed up. My pretty smile has been compromised. I passed out, and I must have passed out face first. Because when I woke up and I was back in the bed, and I vaguely remember getting back in the bed, struggling to get back in the bed, laying down. And then when I woke up, stuck my tongue across my teeth. There was definitely something wrong. My lip was ripped. There were teeth broken. There was blood. I had to get up eventually and drove to the emergency room, got my lips stitched up, then went right there to the dentist. But the reason I cut this on, because I just took 4 Dogalax. This is what you got to do. This is my colostomy. This is my pre-colonoscopy agenda. It started 7 days ago while I was in Ohio with no beans, no red meat, no greasy foods, no corn, and no seeds or nuts. And I have been adhering to it. And this happened after the accident. The accident happened on Thursday. Accident happened Friday morning. I jumped on a plane, went to Ohio Sunday, and I worked Saturday. And you can see I'm talking funny. There's a retainer holding my 2 front teeth in. I'm going to survive. And in true Jeffrey form, I'm finding a way to enjoy this and to get something out of it. But right now, my lip is... I'm going to show it to you. It's still swollen. Stuff was going on. I don't know if it's healing right. If something feels funny in there, I'm going to go get it checked out. 2 front teeth are still sore. I can't bite on the front. While I was back in Ohio, I was putting my food in a blender. I would actually make a sandwich, literally make a sandwich just like I would, and then put it in a blender and grind it to a fairly consistent paste. And I was enjoying it. Another thing Jeffrey does, Jeffrey seems to enjoy whatever the hell Jeffrey is doing at the given moment. And that could be a blessing or a curse. It can make me very complacent in that, you know, I'm cool. You know, a lot of the motivation I think human beings get come from fear and apprehension and, you know, just being threatened. And if you're not threatened and everything is good, you're more apt to just stay where you are. And I knew, and I had even said and discussed openly, I knew what my shortcoming was. I knew what I was doing. I knew my habit of eating improperly and my indulgence in the eating. I knew for a fact that I needed to change that. And it just went on for months and months and months. And just like years ago, 30 years ago, in 1989, when I wanted to quit drinking, I started drinking more just to try to get it out of my system. I said, I'm just going to drink. Eventually, I got popped in the face by the LA County police, taken to jail. Actually, I didn't get popped in the face. They didn't. It was very, all my interactions with the police all through my life have been cordial, congenial. I have no problem. Am I bleeding? I don't care if I'm bleeding or not. I'm going to finish this. All my interactions with the police all through my life, a couple of DUIs, blah, 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 this, here, then that, have always been, you know, no problem. Very polite, taken care of. So I didn't mean pop in the mouth by the police. But it was just more of a wake-up call. It was definitely a wake-up call saying, hey, Mr. Mitchell, you know, this is what you wanted. So when I got out of county jail, well, my sister and my ex-wife picked me up the next morning out of county jail. I quit drinking. I didn't even tell them. I said, you know, I kind of made up in my mind. You know what? I got to pause. Yeah, just check it. It wasn't bleeding. There's something definitely going on. There's swelling. And I'm kind of concerned because I didn't take the antibiotic they told me to. I was already on the antibiotic for something else. I finished that up for 5 days. And they told me to do it, and I didn't. And there's definitely a swelling or something going on in there that I'm having to get checked out. But even through that, eating, it forced me to eat differently. And like I said, when I got, you know, pulled over and taken to county jail, it's a wake up call. I was, and then in this case, same thing where I actually passed out. My second time I passed out, first time I passed out, you know, it was no big deal, blah, blah, blah. I was on my way to Petaluma, passed out on a flight to San Francisco. They took me to the hospital emergency room, you know, and I was able to, blah, 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 I'm okay. You know, it wasn't a cardiac event. They said, you know, I was okay. So I went on to the concert, went to the show and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So, but this time I fell face first. You know, I'm definitely damaged. Wake up call. I mean, my teeth have always been beautiful, you know, and I should probably be more upset about it than I am, but I'm getting through it. And I'm not going to say that I'm enjoying this, but I'm enjoying the challenge and I'm enjoying the change, because it was the punch in the face that made me realize I need to stop indulging in certain habits to put me in a situation, the eating and just being just perversely eating. I mean, crazily eating. And then I get sick and I feel like I'm gonna throw up. And then when I go to the bathroom, or it seems like I always get up, just like on the airplane, I get up trying to make it to the bathroom because I feel like I'm gonna throw up, I pass out. The doctor said there's a condition that where your body does that. Certain people do, the body just shuts down like that. So in this situation, that happened. So I jumped on an airplane and I went back to Ohio, hung out with my granddaughter, my daughter, had a good time while I was healing and eating differently. So now I couldn't chew. I can't bite. So but before the dental injury, I was getting implants. So I got to cut the heat back on, and I'm cold. I'm always cold. I don't know why I'm always cold. It says it's 75 degrees in here because I got a thing, but probably going something going on with me with that too. I don't know if you can hear the heater, but I don't care. I mean, I do care, but I don't. Anyhow, so, you know, I'm eating differently. And like I said, the punch in the face, or literally fall on the face, the wake up call. I'm eating differently. It had to adjust my eating because I'm getting implants. This is all over the place. I'm getting dental implants, so I already only got one molar. So I was using my front two teeth a lot, the biting and to chew. So all of a sudden, I couldn't do that. So I had to start eating blended food. So I said, I'm going to take all my food, put it in the blender. And it was good. I was enjoying it. I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. To the point where I was looking forward to it. Like, yeah, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. And I got a food processor in there. I think, well, this might be a thing. And I was just enjoying it. You know, I mean, something just happened to me to where I'm like knocked out or whatever, you know, passed out. And, you know, I spin it. Somebody throw you lemons, make lemonade, which is one of the only things that I can drink right now. Because right after that, the 2 weeks, you know, I spent back home, when I flew back yesterday, tomorrow I have a colonoscopy. So while I was in Ohio, not only did I have a dental injury that didn't allow me to eat properly, I also had to go on this diet for 7 days. And this thing's, of course, no beans, no red meat, no greasy foods, no corn, no seeds, which really wasn't too bad, because the only thing I do was stay away from red meat and a few things. But, you know, I took it to another level. I tried to kick it up. So I was taking cottage cheese, vegetables, turkey sausage, turkey kielbasa, turkey, you know, fowl, chicken, fowl, F-O-W-L, chicken and stuff, and making these little paste, astronaut food type stuff and eating. It was good. And I felt, you know, I was enjoying it, you know, and I kind of still am. And you're getting turkey patties, getting chicken patties, you know, just trying to stay away from me for whatever reason. Oh, no, not for whatever reason, because of this. And I say for whatever reason, because it may be something that I may continue going forward. And before I left, it was funny, too. Okay, one of the things that I can eat today. So now this is all over the place. But right now I'm on a liquid diet. I'm on a clear liquid diet. And I just, at 4 o'clock, about an hour ago, I took 4 Dulcolax laxatives. Last night, I drank the magnesium citrate. So things are definitely watering out, you know, flowing like that. Well, okay, here's the camera up here. I should look up at the camera. I'm looking at me. I'm trying to look at me and see what I look like when I should be looking at the camera. So let me put this up here. There's an ad for when you get a drop down camera, and the camera drops down to where, like, in front of the video, so you can like look at yourself and be, you know, see the camera. And it was kind of weird looking, but it works. The camera like drops down on the screen. It's like a real thin thing, and the camera's right there. And you put the screen right where you'd be looking to see yourself, so you can see yourself, but you'd actually be looking at the screen. So, because right now I'm looking at the camera and not myself, but I can see myself, and I really don't need to see myself, but I like to watch myself when I work or when I'm doing stuff. Hey, what was that? Oh, this is in Denmark. I got a slideshow on this empty. This is an empty scene in OBS. I just threw a slideshow on there. Oh, that's still Denmark. I was going to say, I thought that was, that's where the queen, they have a queen, you know, Denmark had a queen. So what was I saying? So I'm on a liquid diet today, clear liquid diet. I'm adhering to it. I just took the 4 Dulcolax about an hour ago, you know, no problem. I thought I was going to have a problem not eating before I drink. Cause usually on a regular day, if I drink a glass of water before I eat anything, it comes right back up. 9 times out of 10, it's still cold. My lip is swollen. I'm spitting. I can't keep the spit in my mouth, so I'm having a problem with that. And it's because this is swollen, and it definitely wasn't swollen before, so I got to get that checked out. What else? So, and one of the reasons I came on to cut this on is because I'm going through all this. And it's because of my indulgences. I'm a smart person. I knew damn well I shouldn't have been doing what I was doing. But it's because of my indulgences that I'm in this situation now. But it's also because, maybe because of who I am, or kind of still flesh related, still weakness of the flesh related, in that even this situation I have adapted to, and I'm kind of enjoying it. Enjoy might be a strong word, but it's not horrible. The challenge is not horrible. To get from point A to point B, where I wanted to get to anyway, is definitely rewarding, and I feel that. But I was thinking, as far, and I've said before, that the best parts of being human lie in the weakness of the flesh. Our inconsistencies are things that, well, inconsistencies is subjective. And by inconsistencies, I mean the survival of the human race should be number one. We can argue that could be argued, but this is my opinion. Survival of our species and life in general, period, should be number one. We should be focused on that. It should be almost no other thing on our mind, just our survival. And I don't mean our survival from day to day or from generation. Well, maybe from generation to generation. I'm talking about over eons, millions of years, or thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years. Not like how I'm going to pay the bills tomorrow. How are we going to take care of the homeless problem? Those to me aren't little, but they may or may not be anything that is recognized when people look back 2,000 years from now. But right now they're in front of us, and there's something we have to deal with. I'm not saying we shouldn't deal with them, but I'm trying to think in a bigger scope. So I'm thinking, when we encounter another species, or another species encounter us, I think that, what is this over here? What is that? What is this right here? Oh, microphone stand. I'll just leave it. It's things like that bug me. I can't help it. Things like that. Maybe I can come up a little bit. How about that? Come up. How about like that? Is that better? All right. When we meet another species, another species meets us, I think it could possibly be that it'd be a concern, either a threat or they would take it as something positive or negative, something beneficial. They may be even envious. They may be even envious of the fact that we indulge so much or put so much of our resources in our entertainment, in things that may or may not be directly related to our survival. Our survival over the eon should be number one. I think of ants or bees or animals or creatures that work purely on instinct, where there's no fun, there's no happy, there's just get it done. And in my mind, the survival of our species over the, if we were built that way, say we evolved to have all this smart and, you know, part of consciousness, not smart, but parts of consciousness, the way we were able to share information, you know, stockpile information, share it amongst ourselves, we could develop the sciences, develop ways and means that we can identify reality or the world and how to navigate the world and how to get the best opportunities for our survival out of that world. But yet we have that, and there's parts of us working on that, but yet we'll spend billions of dollars on Vegas, billions of dollars on porn, billions of dollars in resources on TV and entertainment and theater and art and beauty. Do these things actually help our survival? And I'm not really questioning if they do or not. I'm just asking the question. Do they? Because I really haven't thought about it. They may, if you look at it, it's definitely part of our, we need it. We need the stuff now. The creatures we are now, we need that. We need the entertainment. We need not a distraction, but we need ways to exercise our mind in that kind of more amusement and relaxation, stimulation. We need that stimulation now. Now, what if we evolved not to have it? And I bet you there's probably some cultures that evolve without it. I mean, just imagine if we evolved to where we didn't laugh, where we didn't have laughter. Or maybe we didn't have pain. No, I take that back. Or we didn't get bored. Or if we evolved in a certain way that we could just be totally focused. My lip is swelling up to the point where I'm spitting and stuff. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but my lip is killing me anyway. But I'm going to keep going. And you know, what if we didn't evolve to have like gambling and need to desire or to put so much emphasis or resources into these peripheral, it seems. Why am I need to look at these peripheral investments that may or may not help in the long run in our survival. So another species may come here and say, wow. They may say, hey, this is kind of cool that this species is able to put so much into entertainment. Or they might come here and say, why are these people going into this building to watch a movie by the millions? Why did the music, we invested in music, the arts, they may see schools and understand that, this is how they train, you know, their themselves. They have schools and they have this kind of protocol. They have cars, we have rules, we have regulations as far as driving, so that millions of us can drive and we all don't just be going anywhere. We have guidelines and we have restrictions. But then we also have porn and gambling and sports. Do sports help us survive? The creatures we are now, they do. They definitely do. Because we need it. We need not a distraction, but we need that outlet. It's like we need that outlet. In a way, and I'm not saying this right, probably because my lip hurt. I'm just saying that. That's not probably not true at all. But it made me think of that because I know better. I was still doing that stuff to myself until I finally just got, you know, boom, to where, I, you know, The human, the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. We give in. We will give in to it. And sometimes that's the best. It's the best feeling just to give in and be laying in the bed, eating that last brownie, knowing damn well it's probably not going to end up good. But that feeling, and until we get this, like drinking alcohol, drugs, we indulge in these things. It could be that we could have evolved to be instinctually prohibited. No, it's strict, instinctively restricted from doing that. We couldn't do that, but we were open to that. Maybe we need to be open to the good, whatever good is, and open to the bad, whatever bad is. But I was thinking, you know, after all I'm going through, in about an hour, I got to start drinking that other stuff. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm supposed to get up and drink some more of it. Then go to get this thing done at 7:30 or 7 o'clock. I took the day off tomorrow. I was going to try to work. My boss kind of talked me into it. And then after that, I'll be free to eat anything. But since I've, you know, last couple of weeks, since I've been on this, you know, this diet / injury repair thing, I'm feeling better. And I like where I'm feeling because I wanted to get here. I wanted to get to the place where I'm at now, but I didn't want to break teeth to get to it. And I guess what I'm saying is, as human beings, sometimes things like that, our teeth, or we have to get punched in the face, or something really has to break drastically for us to wake, snap out of it. And I kind of equate that to the weaknesses of the flesh. You can't tell us nothing. You can't, sometimes you just can't tell us nothing. We're human. But until we get that message in a way that we can't deny it, motivation comes in a lot of different ways. And that's another reason why I think heaven, we're not built for heaven right now. We need different kinds of motivations. We need challenges. We need threats. We need, I don't like that. And it goes back to where I was saying, even this I'm enjoying. My mouth is hurting. I can barely talk, but it's an experience. And then I was tying that back to when I first came across Buddhism. Buddhism is an atheistic religion. And I was agnostic and definitely atheist back then. So the teachings of suffering and craving, all suffering comes from craving. And big, you know, adjust your mind. You adjust your wants, you mind your wants. You monitor how you let things affect you. You monitor situations and how you react to them. And over the years, I started to realize that no matter what it was, and you see other human beings, we're so resilient that no matter what it was or what it is, we can get to a point that where we can enjoy almost anything. We can get to a point that where we can adapt to enjoy anything. So when you drive down the street and a little, you know, car may jump in front of you or something, or you hate traffic, you can learn to love traffic. It's all up here. And it's craving and it's suffering and adjusting my mindset to the reality around me, on top of making my foundation of health, wealth, well-being, and shelter strong, and increasing my capability to get the things that I want, increasing my capability to explore the passions that I have, to be able to bring in the knowledge and the experiences that I desire, which is basically reducing my cravings, which would lower my suffering, but also being super appreciative of whatever I was going through or had to go through and able to see the big picture. Oh yeah. Right now my mouth is busted. I'm doing this. Oh, I went to jail because of that. that experience, to take that experience and be able to see what may could possibly be on the other side, helps me through that experience. Because right now, you know, things were going, you know, for me. I was like, I just had a major accident. What happened to me was probably major. I say probably because I'm not sure because of the way I went through it. You know, what happened to you? Oh, I broke a couple of teeth, broke the bone, I got a retainer in my mouth, holding my teeth in, my lip is all tore up. I only got one tooth in my mouth, blah, 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 blah. But I'm just going through it. I didn't let it bring me down. And it really wasn't that painful, I don't think. But it was a big deal. It is a big deal. But in my mind, hey, I'm going to go to Ohio to see my granddaughter and daughter and hang out with family. I ain't got time for this. And like a week before, I saw P-Funk, so I was already vibrating really good and really high vibration. And that's why I ended up eating too much and spiraling off and boom, back to reality. And now the last couple of weeks with this new eating, I feel better and I wanted to get here. This is how I got here. And I wanted to tie that in. Like I said, another species is going to come here and they may be wired like, you know, the less, what's it called? Wow, I got all Denmark pictures here. What did I do? And this slideshow is like all Denmark pictures. Look at that. Same picture again. Maybe I need to change them up. Look like it's the same pictures keep coming through. But, you know, we shouldn't, you know, worry about clothes, how we look. Is that relevant to our survival as a species? I'm not going to touch the religion thing. God, Jesus, you know, that whole evolution, heaven. Because that's people's beliefs and that's faith, and faith works. Regardless of how I feel about God or Jesus or this or that, no matter how sometimes I look and I see some of the things people say, you know, pray for me, pray for this. Thank you for praying for this. Your prayers work. No matter how ridiculous I may think that is, I know that the faith behind that is real. And the faith behind that to that person is tangible. I completely understand that. If they post on Facebook for everybody to pray for them and something happened and things started to go the right way, maybe because doctors helped them, maybe because medicine helped them, maybe because hundreds of years of science went into getting that person well again. I understand how somebody who believes their faith in God, that Jesus actually helped. And I know how that can make a person feel better, regardless of the validity of that. And that is tangible. That faith is tangible. And who's to say what's right and who's to say what's wrong? The only thing you can say is, in my world, there is no right or wrong. There's only subjective experience. And, you know, that's not the route I chose to go. But I understand that's the route other people go. And sometimes when I say, well, if God is good all the time, why did you get in an accident in the first place? Seems to me. See, I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to, you can logically pick holes, all kinds of holes to religion, because there's certain things that you just can't explain. I mean, regardless of who you are, there's just certain things you just can't explain. It goes on faith, but faith is definition of that. And that's where our belief comes in. Our beliefs comes in and how our beliefs and our faiths affect the direction of us as a species. Because right now, another thing right now, this might be a little sidetrack. We are so divided. The communication is just ridiculous. I'm looking up on my Facebook feed. I'm seeing people say stuff from way over here. People saying stuff way over there with fervor and just unadulterated belief. And just, this is right. This is right. And the other person saying the exact opposite. This is right. This is right. And I love the scope and how big that the scope of human understanding and human belief can be. I understand we need a diversity. We need everybody thinking about all things. But to see that two people can look at the same thing and come up with completely different ideas of what or how and ought to be. Science just predicts what is. Humans say what ought to be. Humans always will. No matter, we can look at reality. All two of us can look at reality and come up with two different judgments of it. And definitely two different ought to be's. There's no ought to be. There's nothing that ought to be unless you have a God. And to me, a God is nothing. A God is not necessarily a person who created the earth, created me, can destroy this, kill the firstborn, you know, send a son. That's not a God to me. A God to me is something that cannot be wrong. No matter what God does, God is right. And God could be your money. God could be this. God could be that. God could be that. But if there's something in your life that no matter what it does is right all the time, that's a God to me. And unless you have that and it comes from an external source, everything is subjective. So there is no right or wrong. There's no left or right. You do what you want to do, basically. And even then, in that case, by you deciding that Jesus is your savior, that you deciding God is the way, that the Bible is the way to do it, you made a decision that this is the way you want to live. You made that decision. God didn't make it for you. You made that decision. That's a choice. You chose to make that your God, and you chose to make to live like that. So that is even subjective. You could have chose a lot of things, but you chose that. And me going through this, it just, I mean, I believe I'm a smart person. I believe I'm a genius. I believe I can do anything I want. But I also relish, or the relish, I don't know what the word is. I also am very, 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 very proud and happy of the weaknesses in my flesh. The so-called weaknesses in my flesh, the shortcomings, the quote unquote shortcomings of being human. That gives me that freedom. Like a species could come here and they can see and they find out, oh, this species can kill themselves. There might be species that can't do that. No other animal we know can kill themselves. Deliberately say, I don't want to be here no more. Boom, and kill themselves. You know, you can say, well, they don't have guns. It's not the point. The means to do it is not the point. You can figure out a way, you can jump off a cliff or something. But there's not, we're the only species that I know of that can consciously say, and there's that word consciousness again. We have that consciousness to where we can just boop, kill ourselves. And there's some consciousness, I think there's a slope to consciousness to where you go back from one-celled animals, you know, to primates, to insects, to where they have not as much consciousness as we have, not much self-awareness as we have, but they, you know, you can't kill yourself. Anyhow, I think that's enough. I hope this came out. I did a couple tests on the audio. I'm looking at it. I hope it came out right. My name is Jeremy Scott Mitchell. I just want to say this. How long did I go? 33 minutes. That's about right. My mouth was killing me. At 6 o'clock in about 24, 36 minutes, I'm going to start drinking the gallon stuff. I drink a half a gallon of that. Then I'm supposed to wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and drink some more. I came home. I slept a lot. You know, it felt good to get back in the bed. Another thing I want to say, just throw this in there. Traveling is wonderful. Traveling is the best. Well, quote unquote best. I'm just saying that, you know, to make the point. Going places, seeing new stuff, spending time with family. All that is the best. But it means nothing. In fact, it's not even a getaway. A getaway is you're getting away. But my point is having that home, having home to come back to, a home to set up the way you want it, how you want it. You're comfortable. You come home to your sanctuary. Traveling is good. But to me, and to put it crudely, unless you have a home to come back to, it's not traveling. It's a getaway. You're getting away or whatever. You know, the words like that. And I realized that when I walked in this place yesterday, I think, was it yesterday? My God, see, it's just been flying around. I just been going boom, 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 working, traveling, doing this, doing that. Then I got my calendar on my phone. I got to look at my calendar to see what's next, you know, and it's fun. I like that challenge too. Don't get me wrong. I like that challenge of orchestrating, trying to get the maximum joy out of this existence and time that I have on this planet. I love orchestrating. I love choreographing it. It was pus coming out my lip. I wonder if I should have took that antibiotic. I'm going to probably go to the doctor after. I'm going to have to go to the doctor. I'm going to have to go to the doctor because I'm thinking I probably should have took that antibiotic. They gave me a tetanus shot when I was in the hospital, but maybe I haven't talked this much and my lip is swelling up. But anyhow, I forgot where I was going. Well, 6 o'clock, I got to start drinking that gallon stuff. I'll get up at 1. Been drinking broth and eating green Jell-O. I feel good. You know, you could probably see that I feel pretty good other than the mouth thing. So swinging on y'all 2 times for me and for the funk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be. I'm talking about the totality of it all. A theory of universe. An hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.